Hi, it's Andrew Boyd. I'm the RCGP physical activity and lifestyle clinical lead, along with my partner in crime.
Zoe Williams, also physical activity clinical champion for the RCGP.
And we're both GPs in London, and we're joined today by Dr. Jude Marshall, who's a GP at Garscadden Burn Medical Practice in Glasgow. We've just talked a bit about the active practice charter. And we know that there are loads of practices out there who have been doing some amazing things to get their patients and staff more active long before we coined the phrase active practice charter. So welcome, Jude.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me to speak to you today.
Thank you. And you're calling us from the RCGP in Glasgow, is that right? In
No, the
Edinburgh.
RCGP in Edinburgh, yeah, the headquarters are in Edinburgh, in Scotland.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to our little podcast. So what I thought is, could we just start off by asking you about what you've done to get your staff and patients more active at your medical practice?
Sure. Well, looking back, it probably all changed about 5 years ago when we managed to change our contract with our local health board, and we also managed to get a links worker, which is like a community worker that was employed by the third sector to work with us, really to be guided by us and help us with some community work. So 5 years ago, we spent an afternoon talking about what we'd like to do and what we felt that our practice would benefit from. And one of the things that we as a team, so receptionists, managers, nurses, and GPs all said was that we felt that we should be more active, but that we should be encouraging our patients to be more active. So the first thing that we actually did as a practice to try and encourage us to take a break at lunchtime and maybe to go for a walk was to close the practice for an hour at lunchtime. So not only does that give us a break, from the forward-facing work, but it also allows us to get out of the practice. So it might not be formal exercise in inverted commas, but it was encouraging us to be more physically active. And quite often we'll all go together to a park that's just across the road from us and walk around. We've also got green gym equipment there, which allows us to do some exercises, and we have a laugh with each other doing that. So that was the very first step that we did for our staff. We proceeded then to introduce yoga to our staff. So again, this is something that really as GPs and the other employees we hadn't done before, but we then took on a yoga teacher to come once a week to do an hour-long yoga session with us. So we'd already shut the practice for that hour. We clear the chairs away from the waiting area. We get out our mats, and for 45 minutes to an hour, we do a yoga session. So on a Thursday lunchtime, Thursdays used to be one of the busiest days in the practice. We have a really small size practice, so although we're very busy, lots of staff, we're kind of hot desking, so we're turning over all the time. There's lots of surgeries, and a Thursday afternoon was fairly busy, and we would all admit that we were maybe coming to the end of the week struggling a little bit frazzled by a Thursday afternoon. Now we do yoga all together, so receptionists, practice nurse, healthcare assistant, and the GPs do yoga, and we just noticed such a change in all of us on a Thursday afternoon. Like, there was no more stress, we weren't short-tempered, we were enthusiastic, we're kind of getting back to our relentless kind of ways. Making sure we're ready to finish the afternoon, finish the week off. So for us, I would say shutting at lunchtime and doing the yoga were the very first steps that we as a practice took to help ourselves, to look after the most valuable assets in our practice, which is us, the people who work there.
Brilliant, Judith. Thank you so much for sharing that. Just to share with you, Andrew and I are both sat here with big smiles on our faces. It's music to our
Oh.
ears. But I
Great to
guess
hear.
my first question based on that is, what do your patients say about it?
They love it. So obviously we shut at lunchtime, so they're all champing at the bit. I don't know if that's a Scottish expression, but they're all to get in when the doors reopen at 2 o'clock. But on a Thursday, obviously all the chairs and everything have been cleared away, so they see us putting things back. They all talk about it. They all know. They know it's shut for yoga because we cover up the windows in the practice at that point, just so that nobody's watching us. So yeah, they absolutely know. We talk about it all the time, and in fact, the lady who takes our yoga yoga class is a social enterprise, so we pay her to teach us yoga or take her classes or her lessons, and she then uses the money that we give her to run classes or one-on-ones for children with physical and learning disabilities in the local area. So we're helping ourselves, we're helping other people. She also does classes in our local area, Drumchapel, where it's free for carers to attend, and we can also encourage our patients to go. So it's not like we're saying, oh, there's this magic thing called yoga, why don't you try it? By the way, I've never tried it myself. You know, we're actively doing it. We all practice it at other times in the week, whether on our own or at other yoga classes. And we can tell patients of the benefits of that. You know, I'm honest and said, you said, you know, Thursday afternoon used to be my nightmare afternoon, and now I feel so much better. And you know, they're seeing that, because on a Thursday afternoon, I am still the happy, bubbly person that I am on a Monday morning. So it works for us. And I think we're a good example to them that we're managing to squeeze this in. And honestly, if you saw how small our reception area is, you'd think that we were crazy. But we just put all the mats down and we manage, you know.
And Jude, so, you know, it takes all sorts to work in a general practice setting. And my question would be, do all of the staff get involved on a Thursday, or do some people opt out? I'm always happy to make a complete fool of myself, but some of my colleagues are a bit more reserved. And I just wondered how that went down with everyone in the practice.
Yeah, so I think yoga, like literally I'm the least flexible person in the world, and I've been doing yoga and Pilates now for a few years, and I'm not much further forward, I don't mind telling you. But I really, really enjoy it and I feel better for it. And it's not just the physical effects, it's the mental effects as well. And everybody does take part. And Helen, who takes our yoga, is very sensitive to what everybody's situation is. You know, we've had staff members who've maybe been returning to work after a period of ill health or anything like that. And she takes that into account, and we'll adapt our classes. And maybe we'll do a gentler class, or at the end of the month, actually, she does a really gentle class where we do more of the relaxation at the end. She makes that half an hour, which is bliss at the end of the month. So, you know, she's just really sensitive to us, and she knows if we're all having a bad day or if we're all a bit wound up, she knows how to interact with us. She comes on all our practice nights out. She comes to all the birthdays, the Christmases, the practice afternoons out. She's part of our team now, so she knows us all inside out.
I mean, clearly she is very much part of the team, and it's great that she's using the money she gets from that for a really good cause. Now, I know there'll be a lot of GPs listening to this podcast and they'll be thinking, yeah, this is all very good. This is all very nice. However, if only, taking an hour out of their day is just not possible. What would you say to those people listening who are thinking that?
So I would say, hands up, my hand is up while I'm talking to you. I was exactly the same. Like, see, when we talked about shutting the practice for lunchtime, I was the most skeptical. I was like, guys, I'm not saying an hour later at night, you know, we're already all leaving late, blah, blah, blah. But I think for me, if I look back at how I was practicing before we started yoga on a Thursday and how we are now, the benefits have outweighed the wee bit of extra time that I maybe need to spend. I seem to work more efficiently in the afternoon. I'm more focused. I think because I've had that break and it's not that relentless 8 o'clock till 6 o'clock with no break, you know, patient contact after patient contact, phone call after phone call, scripts, reports. I think because I've had that break, I seem to work better. So I know it wouldn't work for everybody, but genuinely in our practice, I'm Mrs. Skeptical, or I was Mrs. Skeptical 5 years ago, and I've definitely come around to the idea that it's a huge benefit everyone, and we're kind of all gelled a bit more as a team as well, because we do it all together.
So make time and you'll get the time back kind of thing.
It's only once a week as well, so it's not every day that we're doing it.
Amazing. So you've talked quite a lot about what you've done for staff there, but I know you've done loads of things at the practice that have directly supported patients themselves. Can you just give us a bit of a flavour of some of the things that you've got involved in to help your patients as well?
Sure. So I'll tell you about a couple of different things. The first one was randomly my kid's tennis coach came to me one day knowing where I worked and said, I've got a tennis coach who would like to volunteer to do some tennis coaching in your area. So we were at tennis lessons is a different part of the city. So she said, if I could provide the tennis coach for you, could you provide patients? So we then referred patients who maybe were struggling to get active, and you think tennis and you think, goodness, it's like Wimbledon, but it really wasn't. It was a much gentler start. It was indoors because of the Scottish weather, and it was actively or gently getting people more active. So, you know, it was like walking tennis to start off with, then a little bit of running. And this teacher for a year took our patients week on week, and it wasn't the same patients. And maybe there was just one, maybe there was five or six, but they really enjoyed that. So Julie, who encouraged me to do that, then managed to nobble us to help them set up a park run in Drumchapel as well. So we did have park runs in Glasgow, but there wasn't one in or near Drumchapel. So she came along to us as a practice and asked us if we would consider it. We had a meeting with Parkrun HQ and and the park rangers actually, and then started up the parkrun in June of 2016, which has been great for Drumchapel because they're using an area of Drumchapel that really wasn't being used very often. It's something called the Bluebell Woods, and it's a lovely area. And actually, although we're not a parkrun practice, we do encourage people to go, not just to do the running, the walking, but do the volunteering as well. And although I'm not strictly involved, I nominated my husband, who's not a GP, to be the race director. So he still does that once a month at parkrun in Drumchapel. So we facilitated setting that up. Yeah. And I know that you'll like that, Andrew, because I know that you're keen on that.
we're both in smiling again. I'm glad you mentioned parkrun, because currently we've actually had 800 GP practices across the UK have now signed up to be parkrun practices. So it's something clearly that a lot of GPs and GP practices and patients are very supportive of.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's lovely that it's in our area as well. And I wouldn't say that our uptake is amazing, but we are continually working on it, and we're very positive about it and the contribution it makes to our local community.
I mean, I'm interested to say you're not signed up as a parkrun practice, because you know it's so simple. You just fill in an online form and it's done. Just so everybody
knows how we did it. I know. I promise it's on our list of things to do. I promise.
I've just done it for my practice. Well, I did it a while ago. It takes 2 minutes. So I guess moving away from physical activity itself, then one of the other features of the charter is around reducing sedentary behaviour, because, you know, the typical GP practice is a place where everybody in that practice, whether staff or patient, tends to sit very still for sometimes long periods of time. How have you been working towards addressing that?
I guess trying to be reasonably good examples. So we do go out walking at lunchtime. We walk around the area so people can see that we're getting fresh air and getting exercise at lunchtime. I have, as all GPs do, have multi-morbid patients who really struggle to do anything. You know, we'll get a taxi down to the practice, taxi back, very limited even in their homes. But I make a fool of myself quite a lot and do squats with them, or I grab some equipment in my room and show them how they can do bicep curls or calf raises, you know, and just say, look, you don't need to be out, you know, running around the block, but even during the advert breaks, go and make a cup of tea, stand in the kitchen, hold on to the work surface and do some exercises. So we talk about things like this, because I think we recognize that although we have targets for getting people more active, even for me, if you say, oh, you've got 250 minutes of exercise this week, I'm like, oh god, right, oh, when will I fit that in? I'm probably not going to manage it. Oh, I'm just not doing it this week. You know, I actually do reasonably good levels of exercise, but I know that saying 150 minutes is quite a lot for people. So we even say, you know, walk your dog an extra 100 metres and then walk back at night, you know, or walk around the block an extra time, go to the park with your kids, and rather than standing watching them, maybe join in. Or, you know, we also had an event recently with Daryl Edwards from Primal Play, and, you know, we learnt little bits and bobs about how to introduce exercise just with playing with your kids. So, yeah, there's lots of little ways that we've tried to encourage people, again, just making little changes in their life, not expecting them to become marathon runners, but just to gradually increase what they're doing. And even recently, I had a brilliant case of a patient who I've grown quite close to, just from trying to encourage him to lose a little bit of weight for his diabetic control. And he was so delighted that his HbA1c had come down. And that was with a combination of doing my kitchen exercises and looking at what he was eating. So it's so nice when you get the rewards. And he's so positively encouraged that he's telling everyone about what he's doing. So that's the great thing about general practice, isn't it?
It's so true, those kind of case studies that stick with you and make the terrible, stressful days really, really worth it, because someone's made some positive changes based on something tiny that you've done, and they've really gone and quite literally run with it.
Absolutely. And he's my main influence. The next thing we're organising actually at the moment in our area is chair yoga. So I'm hoping that he's going to be my shining example and be the first patient to go to chair yoga.
Jude, I'm totally inspired by what you've done at the practice. It sounds absolutely amazing. It sounds like you've really made physical activity sort of part of the just fabric of the practice. I guess for a lot of people that will be listening to this podcast, they'll be saying, well, that sounds great, but you know, you talked about it. This has been a work in progress over years. It's involved kind of changes to the commissioning structure and that sort of thing. If you're just starting out and you think, yeah, I want to do something for my patients and my staff, can you just give us a kind of few top tips for colleagues around the country to kind of get started, maybe even just at the end of this podcast, that they can instigate straight away?
Yeah, so I think, honestly, hand on heart, the most important thing was shutting at lunchtime. And allowing the staff to have a break at lunchtime, allowing yourself to have a break. So that would be my number one. It's 1 hour. Even start by just doing it one lunchtime once a week even, and see the positive effects that that seems to have on people, because I'm pretty sure everyone will feel the benefit of it. So that would be my first thing. And the other things I've mentioned, but trying to get out and go for a walk at lunchtime, even if it's not for the full hour, just go and get 15 minutes break. Talk to someone about something that's not medicine or your patients. Do a bit of mindfulness in the park. Appreciate when there's a blue sky, which is not something we always see. Immerse yourself in getting a break. So there would be the main things. There's lots of other things that you could try, like a yoga class. Honestly, just try it, but small steps.
Okay. Jude, thank you so much for being on our podcast. You've inspired us, and I'm sure you've inspired many other people out there. It kind of, to sum up what you're saying, this 1 hour at break time, it's taking a little bit of control back, I think. It sounds like to me, just taking a little bit of control back in this world of practice that seems to have got way out of control, and seeing ourselves as people, not just GPs, actually engaging with each other in a positive way, rather than just this constant conveyor belt of work. So thank you so much for sharing that, and good luck at
good
the
luck
RCGP.
Very much. I'll let you know how it goes.
Thanks, Jude.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's all for this podcast. So thank you so much for joining us. We hope that Jude has inspired you. And go to the RCGP website if you want to find more about the Active Practice Charter, which is now and ready for action.